48. Promises worth nothing. Modo stood completely still in the dark. On their first attack, the Clockwork Falcons had knocked the lantern from Liz's hand, smashing it on the floor. The only light in the room was emitted by the glowing red eyes of the birds.
"Their beaks or talons are poisonous!"
Octavia yelled. A falcon dove at her. Modo followed the blur of its ruby eyes, then heard her grunt.
"Ah, one got me! Octavia!"
He swung his hands out and followed her voice until he found her.
"Are you bleeding?"
"Yes,"
she hissed.
"But my helmet saved me from the worst of it."
She was still speaking, so she hadn't been poisoned. Yet Mr. Socrates had said there was a vial inside the creatures. Maybe it took time for the poison to work. A falcon screeched again, and Lizzie let out a shriek, then swore like the blazes. The birds could see in the dark. Without warning, a falcon's talons slashed Modo's head. The bird flapped away, and Modo held the wound, his fingers wet with his blood. He felt as though half his scalp had been torn off.
"We have to get out of here,"
Modo shouted.
"But how? Which way was which?"
Then a light appeared at the far end of the chamber.
"Mr. Socrates."
But a second and third light came around the corner. Six guild soldiers approached and stopped about 20 paces away, pistols raised. Two were struggling to control mechanical hounds. Modo had nearly lost his arm to one of those hounds and had no desire to tackle one again. The soldier aimed his lantern so that Modo had to cover his eyes momentarily. When he looked again, the falconer was rounding the corner, making a clicking noise with his tongue. The mechanical birds darted back and landed on his arm. Miss Hackendottir strode between the soldiers and pointed at Modo.
"You're alive,"
she exclaimed, staring incredulously.
"So far,"
Modo offered, feeling a tinge of pride.
"You do amaze me, but I doubt you can survive bullets through the heart. It would be best if the three of you surrendered now."
Her voice grew softer.
"We will not harm you, I promise." "Her promises are worth nothing,"
Octavia spat out.
"Ah, but they are. My word is my bond. We will feed you and make you comfortable. It will be a peace treaty between us."
Lizzie, behind Modo, whispered,
"Whatever you do, don't move a muscle."
He felt something slide between his arm and his body. His heart skipped a beat as she continued,
"Prepare to run. There's a tunnel behind us."
He heard the smallest of clicks. The hammer on a pistol was being pulled back. Good Lord, she was using him as cover.
"I want your answer right now,"
Miss Hackendottir said.
"Have your men lower their guns,"
Modo said.
"You are not in a position to make demands. Give me your answer, or we shoot Octavia first."
Octavia stiffened.
"Enough talk,"
Lizzie whispered, and there was a pop right beside Modo. The bullet ricocheted off Miss Hackendottir's hand. She had raised it in time to deflect the bullet. Lizzie's second shot smashed one of the lanterns a soldier was holding.
"Ah, blast the luck,"
Lizzie said.
"Run!"
Modo grabbed Octavia's hand, ducked to the ground, then darted to the tunnel. Behind them, Miss Hackendottir shouted,
"Shoot them! Shoot them! Release the hounds, you fools!"
Bullets zipped, but none found its mark. Lizzie paused at the tunnel's opening to push Modo and Octavia onward, bellowing,
"Go! Go!"
He looked back to see her reload her two-barreled Derringer. The gun was tiny, meant only for shooting someone across a card table, so he knew it wouldn't do much damage.
"Go!"
she screamed again and let off a round. Modo took Octavia's hand and pulled her along the passage, thankful that it was wide enough and tall enough for them to run upright. He glanced back again to see that Lizzie was only a few steps behind them, but closing in were the mechanical hounds, their metal claws clicking on the stone.
"Faster!"
Lizzie screamed. They burst into another chamber, and Modo stopped, turned, and eyed the pillars on either side of the doorway. Just as Lizzie passed through the entrance, he put his back against a pillar and, straining mightily, pushed it over to block the door. He had just enough time to push the second one into place before he saw the glowing eyes of the hounds through the space between the pillars. The beasts threw their massive bodies against the pillars and moved them an inch.
"Keep going,"
Octavia gasped.
"They'll be through that in no time."
It was nearly pitch black, though the passage ahead seemed to harbour the faintest bit of light.
"This way," Modo ordered, "and hope it's not a dead end."
"Yes, Modo, a dead end would be bad," Lizzie quipped, then laughed.
As they ran, the light up ahead grew brighter. Was it possible that Miss Hackandottir had somehow circled around them? They had no choice in any case, so they dashed on into a grand chamber where they were blinded by the brightness. When his eyes adjusted, Modo found himself looking at a large golden sarcophagus. Behind it stood two familiar men.
"Ah, Modo, you are late again, I see," Mr. Socrates said.